Welcome to the latest installment of That's History, our regular segment where we look at today's events and find echoes, parallels, and lessons from the past. I'm Chris Cetullo, and I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good to be here, as always.
Well, we're talking about the impact of the midterm elections. One of the biggest changes, of course, is that the United States Senate is now controlled by the Republican caucus. And it didn't take very long for Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to sort of flex his muscles and show President Obama who's boss on a number of issues, but one of them was the climate change accord reached with China, where no sooner had it been announced than Senator McConnell was saying, not so fast, you know, right. We weren't consulted. So, Jonathan, as a historian, would it be fair to say that relationships between the United States Senate and the presidency, the White House, are at an all-time low?
It would not be correct to say that. And in fact, they've been at a low in some ways since the Republic began. I think we distort the past when we imagine that there was some time of kumbaya where the president and the Senate were in accord, because since the very beginning, they've been in opposition. And they've been in opposition when the president's own party controls the Senate and when it doesn't.
Right. Surely, George Washington, father of our country, must have had due deference and respect for the United States Senate.
Not at all. Actually, at the very beginning, the Senate did propose to name him Your Majesty, which the House of Representatives rejected. But after a very small grace period, they were at each other. What happened was that Washington and his administration proposed a commission to negotiate some treaties with the Creek Indians and other Native Americans. And the Constitution says, of course, the treaties have to be passed with the advice and consent of the Senate. So Washington goes to the Senate and says, look, here's this commission. Would you approve it? And they say, listen, could we have some time? And he says, no, you've got to do thumbs up, thumbs down right now. And a couple senators write in their diaries that the president is trying to steal power from them. The president has his foot on their necks. And shortly thereafter, he puts forth he nominates somebody for a naval position. And, of course, the other thing the Senate's enjoined to do by the Constitution is approve or not presidential nominations, and they rejected this one. Washington goes to the Senate, and he says, why did you reject my nominee? And the Senate says to him, well, those deliberations are private, and by the way, it's none of your business. And then Washington writes in his diary, I shall never go to the Senate again. And he didn't.
Wow. Wow. Well, one thing that we see through history is that the situation with President Obama, having been a former senator, a former member of that most exclusive club in the world, doesn't seem to make much difference. Didn't make much difference for John Tyler.
No, it didn't. Of course, Tyler's our first unelected president. That is the first president who was not elected to the White House. He succeeded William Henry Harrison, who died almost immediately. And Tyler had been in the Senate for almost a decade, but the other senators had zero respect for him. My all-time favorite quote, one senator insisted that Tyler should not be called the president. He should be known as, quote, the vice president on whom, by the death of the late president, the powers and duties of the office of the president have devolved. The other senators were not interested in having one of their own as president. They were quite jealous of him, apparently, and they proceeded to reject four of his nominees for the cabinet and four of his nominees for the Supreme Court. This is in a three-year administration.
All right, let's continue our tour of Mount Rushmore. Abraham Lincoln did not have the best time with Republicans in the Senate during the Civil War.
Definitely not. By 1864, the Senate is controlled by Republicans, but they're so-called radical Republicans that don't agree with Lincoln's plan for Reconstruction, which was actually quite gentle to the South. The radical Republicans want to extract much stronger conditions. And they secretly rejoiced when Lincoln was murdered because they thought in Andrew Johnson they had somebody that was going to extract maximal penalties from the South. It didn't turn out that way. They made no secret about their loathing of the president and vice versa.
You mentioned to me before went on a quote from one Republican senator after Lincoln's assassination that still has my mind reeling.
Yeah, that was Benjamin Wade, and he said, by the gods, there will be no trouble now in running the government. The idea is we've got this president who's a member of our party but we don't agree with, out of the way. Now we have another president who we think we're going to agree with more. That didn't work either, which is actually why Andy Johnson was impeached.
We're talking with Jonathan Zimmerman, history professor from New York University. This is That's History, and our topic today is the eternal warfare between the White House and the United States Senate. Now, I'm sure, like all good PBS viewers, you watched a fair part of Ken Burns' documentary on the Roosevelts. You know, we have a good sense of how amazing they were as leaders. Surely they didn't have any problems with the Senate, did they?
Both of them did. They had enormous problems, even though in each case the Senate was controlled by their party, by the president's party. So in the case of Teddy Roosevelt, he comes in and, you know, he wants banking regulation, he wants the Panama Canal, and he gets enormous pushback from members of his own party, one of whom, a Republican senator, Roosevelt described as, and I love this too, quote, a well-meaning, pinheaded, anarchistic crank of hirsute and slab-sided aspect.
Well, you can tell that Teddy was also a writer. He liked his adjectives.
Exactly. And in the case of his distant cousin, Franklin Roosevelt, the same thing. You know, Roosevelt comes in an enormous Democratic sweep. When he's first elected in 32, there are so many Democrats in the Senate that some of them have to sit on the Republican side of the chamber. And all of that early New Deal legislation, a lot of it was passed by voice vote because there were so many Democrats. But by his second term, there's enormous conflict between Roosevelt and, again, the Democratic-controlled Senate over things like his cord-packing plan, which was his proposal to add a couple more justices because the Supreme Court was now striking down some of his New Deal legislation. But one of my other favorite quotes about senators hating presidents comes from a Democratic senator who said to one of his colleagues, you know, FDR is his own worst enemy. And the other guy, also a Democrat, says, no, not while I'm alive.
I am going to have to remember that line. That will come in useful at some time or another. So now let's update it to the present. With President Obama, do you see any possibility in this sort of last part, the lame duck part, essentially, of his presidency that – is there any historic precedent, let me put it that way, for there being some warming trend with Congress actually getting something done? Or are we basically looking at 2 years of stalemate?
Well, as you know, Chris, I don't like to predict the future, but
I'm just saying, you know, past results do not, you know, prove, you know, future outcomes.
I think especially in the case of Obama, there's already been such a cool relation with the Senate that it's unlikely that it will get any cooler. Let's remember our past St. Patrick's Day, he invited 12 Democratic senators to the White House for a St. Patty's Day event, and exactly one of them showed up. And those are the Democrats. So, you know, the job of the Senate, if you will, is to show up the president and vice versa. And I think we sometimes exaggerate the importance of party and even the importance of elections in affecting that relationship, which is almost inherently acrimonious.
That's Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University, discussing the historical opposition and difficulties between the White House, the presidency, and the United States Senate. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was fun.